and welcome to the Happy Yoga Podcast with me, your host, Jo Hutton. And in this podcast, we talk about all things yoga and all things to make your mind a happier place to live in. Let's get started. We're going to be looking at energetic continence. What on earth is that? You may be saying, but we are continuing with our series of going through the eight limbs of yoga, and we're still on the yamas, so we're still on the restraints. If I'm just talking complete nonsense to you now, and you're like, I don't know what you're talking about, Jo, go back and listen to the second episode. Ideally, you would listen to all of them, but if you have to listen to one, listen to the second episode, and that'll get you up to speed about what the Yoga Sutras are and what the eight limbs of yoga are. Because we're going to go through the fourth of the yamas, which is energetic continence. Yeah, what on earth could that possibly mean? It basically means being careful with your energy, aware of your energy, respectful of your energy, continence in the ability to control your energy, the ability to stop it from spilling out. You know, continence just the same way as continence with your bladder, of being able to notice when there are leaks in your energy. And there's actually two ways of interpreting this. We're going to look at another interpretation of it at the end of the podcast, but this interpretation of energetic continence is the one that I want to focus on mostly. The theory is that we have a finite amount of energy to get the stuff done that we need to get done in our lives. So every day we wake up, and I'm sure you've had this experience where some days you spring out of bed, you've got all the energy in the world, you could take over the world, you could skip down the street. And some days you wake up and you're just drained. You do not have the energy to do anything. You want to get back to bed. And energetic continence is about understanding and managing our energy. So it's tempting to think that we have an infinite amount of energy that we can just pour and pour from an empty cup, that we can run from work to go and see friends, to hobbies, to stressful things, to caregiving, to all of these things. We can run from place to place to place, and we can just give and give and give, and we are then surprised when we burn out. And sometimes when we look at what we've been doing when we're burnt out, when we look at when we're exhausted, we're like, oh, that's because I've been really, really busy. So energetic continence is about that awareness, building that awareness of how much energy are you needing to do all of the things that you're doing? And also, what the things that you are doing, are they giving you energy or are they taking them away? So I'm sure everybody has had the experience of there are some things that you do that you get energy from, and there are some things that you do that drain your energy. There are some foods that you eat that when you eat them afterwards, you're like, oh, I feel like I've got so much energy, that feels really nourishing. And then there's other foods that you eat that afterwards you're like, I feel a bit sluggish after that, or I feel like I feel a bit crappy after it. And there'll be people in your life, there'll be some people that you meet and that you hang out with, and you're like, wow, spending time with that person made me feel like I could take over the world. And sometimes you hang out with people and you think, oh, what? I don't know. I need to go and lie down in a dark room after hanging out with that person. And as with all of these things, it's not about equating good and bad. So it's not that good things give you energy and bad things take your energy away. In fact, like, there are some things that take your energy away that are totally worth doing. Like things like, you know, some people think that having a glass of wine, even though the next day you might be feeling a bit crappy, it might be worth it when you balance everything out. Some people will think that it's not worth it, but some people it will be worth it. It's not about having a moral stance on it. It's about having awareness of the fact that you only have a finite amount of energy. So there are some things that are going to cost more energy than other things. So it could be tempting to think, oh, well, in that case, I'll only ever do things that give me energy. I'll only hang out with people who give me energy. I'll only eat things that give me energy. I'll only spend my days doing things that give me energy. But this isn't practical for most people. So an example of this may be that you may have a relative is going through a hard time. And when you see them, you know that you're going to leave having given them more energy than you've got back. Sometimes people say only hang out with people who give you energy. Now, that wouldn't be very nice to get rid of that relative, to never hang out with that relative, be like, oh, I can't hang out with you because you're taking my energy. That's just not how human relationships work. It's not how we would want human relationships to work, because let's face it, sometimes we're the ones taking the energy. So I know that I've been in a bad mood, or I've been poorly, or, you know, something's happened where when I hang out with people, I may have taken more energy than I have given out in that interaction. And when we're responsible adults having proper human adult relationships, it's not as simple as just saying, oh, well, just cut out everything that takes your energy. But there is a level of awareness around it, so that if you have to go and hang out with that relative, if you have to go and caregive for that relative, given that the space in your life that it deserves, so realizing that if you're going to go and hang out with that relative, you will probably need to make sure that you're nourishing yourself in other ways. So doing things like making sure you're having nourishing food, making sure you're getting an early night, making sure that you aren't just coming home and scrolling on TikTok, making sure that if you are doing something that's going to take your energy, to give yourself energy back. And that sounds so simple. That sounds like, well, yeah, Jo, I obviously already do that. But chances are you're not. Well, you might be. Chances are I'm not. I'm not very good at this. I have to be very conscious of this. And whenever I've checked in with myself, I haven't been doing this. The times when I am absolutely exhausted, unless it's times when I've been poorly or, you know, there's something else going on, usually it's because I haven't been managing my energy very well. And I have been thinking that I can just do things that take the energy and not give the energy back. And even if you are poorly or there's something else going on, you can still use this, because you can still acknowledge that you have a finite amount of energy and adjust yourself accordingly. Obviously, there will be times when you don't have energy and you're still expected to do stuff. So it would be lovely if we could all just say, oh, well, I haven't got much energy. I'm going to not do anything that drains me. But we can't do that because obviously we have responsibilities. So instead, we have to timetable ourselves and be realistic about what we can get done with the energy that we have. And there are things that we have to get done. So they're like things that need to get done. But then there's nice to have as well. And those nice to have over time kind of become need to have. And what I mean by that is, if you neglect the nice to have for long enough, you end up in a situation where it drains you completely. So for example, if you have been going to work, looking after your kids, and just doing the things that tick you over, and you haven't had any chance to go and hang out with your friends, you haven't had any chance to go for a walk, you haven't had any chance to fill your cup, you will end up with less energy, because those nice to have over time are not nice to haves. They are necessity. It's just you probably do go longer because the other things seem to take priority. So what I personally do is I'm aware that my energy comes in cycles. So I know that I'll have a period of quite high energy, and then I'll have a period of quite low energy. And when I've got high energy, I don't ever think that I'll ever not have high energy. So I tend to not do things on a daily cycle. I tend to think of things in weekly cycles of like, I want to get this done in the week rather than I want to get this done in the day. So I like to meet a friend every week. I like to go for a walk as often as I can. I like to go every day, but you know, I like to go somewhere nice in the countryside every week. There are rather than thinking about every day, because I know that I have my energy cycles are longer than just one day, and I find that I have a little bit more flexibility if I think about it as a week rather than as a day. But what I find is that when I have high energy, I never ever believe that I'm ever going to have low energy again. So over time, what I have started to do is that when I have more energy, I have to remind myself that I'm going to have low energy. So I start doing things for myself for when I have low energy. Because when I have low energy, I never believe I'm going to have high energy again. And things tend to snowball off each other. Say you went to work and you were late coming home. So you've done a long shift. You come home, can't really be asked to make dinner because you haven't got the energy. So you eat something that doesn't really give you much energy. And then you feel like, because you've been at work all day, want human connection, but you don't really have time for human connection. So you go on TikTok or you go on Instagram and you scroll on that. And then you end up staying up all night on TikTok or on Instagram when you really should be in bed. But because you're tired, you can't really move off the sofa and you're in that kind of like weird paralysis thing. And then you finally make yourself go to bed and you wake up the next day and you're knackered and you can't really bother to make breakfast. So you just grab yourself something or even skip it entirely. And you know that you should probably go for a walk, but you can't be bothered. And you don't really want to like have a proper wash or a shower. So you just do a like an armpit one in the sink, and then you don't make yourself look nice because you can't really be bothered. And then you go around all day and you're feeling crappy and it's kind of all cascades off each other. So then, so you end up getting less and less and less, and it becomes more and more draining. And then it just gets worse. So, and then you can't remember that it all spiraled from the fact that you had, it just feels like your whole life has crumbled. So what I try to do now, because it can go the other way as well. So it can go the other way of like, you make yourself nice food, so you have an early night, and then you did it, and then it goes the other way, and suddenly, aha! And then you've got the energy to put your makeup on, you've got the energy to put make your hair nice, and then you feel great, and then you go out and you have nice conversations, and you're like, yeah, it can all go the other way as well. So what I try to do with part of my energy continence is that acknowledgement that there are going to be times when I'm going to have low energy and accepting that, rather than always pushing to have high energy, being in acceptance that is a natural cycle. So I try to plan for the times when I've got low energy. So for example, say you were prepping, you were making something for the slow cooker when you had more energy. You can always make double the amount and just put some in the freezer, in the little freezer bag, so that when you come home and you haven't got the energy, you've always got something in the freezer that you can just grab that is going to nourish you. Or like I love a smoothie. I don't know what it is. I'm obviously so basic, but I have this really quick smoothie that I know will give, and I don't know if it actually does give me loads of nourishment or whether I just feel like it just feels really nourishing. So I have lots of those mixes in the freezer so that I know that when I can't be bothered, I can just have one of those. And there's something about it, having it, that makes us go, oh, I feel so nourished. And that nourishment makes me feel like, oh, and now I deserve to do all this other stuff. So planning and knowing your own cycles and having the self-awareness and the self-love to be accepting of your own cycles and not feel like you have to always have lots of energy to be worthy of nourishment, and being able to block your time. So I used to be really bad at being able to work out time. It wasn't until I got like a proper diary that I was able to be like, well, it wasn't a proper diary, it was a diary where I could see in a visual way, because I'm a very visual learner. I wouldn't be able to tell when I was planning my weekend how much stuff that was. But now, if I've got something planned in for then, I'm more able to say, no, I can't do that then because I know I'm going to be tired from then. And I also know that this is personal, it might not be true for you, but I get energy from people. So if I don't see people, I lose my energy. And I know it'll be different if you're an introvert, you'll probably get it the other way. So timing that in where, and usually when I don't have energy, it's the least time that I want to see people. But I know if I force myself to see people, I will feel better. And there's probably things with you where you're like, if I make myself do that, I know I'll feel better. And it could just be as simple as like watching your favorite TV program. So I think energetic continence is such a good name for it, because it does sometimes feel like there's a little leak in your energy and it's draining away. And it's just working out where your energy is going and being able to timetable it a bit better. I don't know if you can hear my cat crying for its dinner, his dinner, but I apologize if you can. He is fed. He's just very dramatic. And the other interpretation of this, which is a very unfashionable interpretation, is celibacy. Now, don't turn off the podcast, because that it's not relevant, really, the traditional idea of celibacy. But what is very relevant is another interpretation of it, which is called kind sexual conduct, which basically is consent. And again, it's very, very basic stuff, but this stuff is all, they're all wayfinders. So the yamas and the niyamas are like markers in the road for when you're feeling a little bit lost. And consent, though it is basic, as we know, because there's such a big conversation happening. So kind sexual conduct has absolutely nothing to do with morality. It's not about particular sexual acts. It's not about this is a bad sexual act, this is an acceptable sexual act, you're bad if you do this and you're good if you do this and sex is bad. It's not that at all. What it is it's about being respectful of the fact that you are a full, autonomous self, and the person that you are having sex with, or persons that you are having sex with, are also a full, autonomous self, and that sex is a communication rather than a set act. So what I mean by that is, at any point you have the right to say no, and your partner has the right to say no, and their partners and whoever happens to be in the room has the right to say no for any reason at any time, and that you are not entitled to, you yourself are not entitled to sex, and that no one else is entitled to your body either. And this is, like, it should be obvious, but I think we live in quite a complicated world, and it's, I think, especially for younger people, or people who haven't fully explored their own self, I think it can take time for you to learn that about yourself, that you are allowed, that no one is entitled to you, and you are allowed to, and not just allowed, but that's the base, that's the very, very base, is that you don't have to do anything that you don't enjoy, ever, when it comes to sex. And you should never, ever try and get someone to do something that they don't enjoy, ever. And again, this isn't like, you know, sex is bad. It's not, it's never from the outside. It's about you finding peace within yourself and living a more peaceful life and having that conversation of what are you comfortable with, and letting nothing being set in stone. It's like every single time You are allowing for there to be a no. Yes, so that is energetic continence, the two interpretations of it. So I'm sure that gave you a lot of food for thought. I'm looking forward to hearing all your thoughts on this. Do let me know. Bye. The Happy Yoga Podcast was brought to you by me, Jo Hutton. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram, and you're always welcome to join the community. So follow the link in the show notes if you want to be part of the community. Bye.